The greatest privilege that we can have in this life, and that is to receive the Word of God that gives us eternal life, that builds us up in the faith. A faith that will believe, a faith that will endure, a faith that will overcome, a faith that will embrace all the promises of God, a faith that will not be denied. Lord, we thank you for that faith that builds us up now in your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. I know we've been having much teaching, blessed teaching in this over a period of time, but there is just one verse in this today that I want to hone in, and that is in Ephesians 5 and verse 26. Ephesians 5 and verse 26, which tells us that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. The washing of water by the word. Now, it is interesting that that verse is in the context of marriage, Christ and the church, which he shows to the natural marriage in the home, and he brings it over to the spiritual with us that are married unto him, with Christ as head over his body. But we've had a lot of blessed teaching on that, so I'm not going into any of that. But it's interesting that the Word of God is brought out, the deeper meaning and the revelation of the Word and what it does, its purpose, right in the context of the mystery of the church, the bride of Christ, and so on, which is very significant. There's a reason for that. And I'm calling this teaching today the importance of washing. The importance of washing. This washing that Paul is referring to here, in the context of what he has brought up, is a washing for the bride who is making herself ready. The Word of God, ever since man has fallen, has always in its nature been to wash, to purify, to separate. That is the nature of the Word of God, and sadly, I don't think an awful lot of Christians are really aware of the nature of the Word. We know much about the Word is to build us up in faith, help us to overcome, to receive and claim all the promises of God, but there's not such an emphasis that the Word is also to wash, to cleanse, to separate. And it's in the context here of marriage. Not only the earthly marriage, but the marriage that is set in heaven. That we are betrothed, that we are going to marry the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bride who's making herself ready. And I think that this is very appropriate, because this is the essential requirement if the bride makes herself ready. She cannot make herself ready unless she is anointed to do so. And that anointing, which we not only receive, obviously, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the anointing through the Word of God, and the anointing that we sit under, which is a restoration of the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So here she makes herself ready. The washing is, as we're told, for the purpose to separate us. And this is what sorts it out. And we find this very briefly in John 17. Jesus' priestly prayer here in John 17 and verse 17, of which he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So here we get a further understanding of the importance of washing. Jesus said in his prayer, "Sanctify," which means to set them apart in your truth. What is the truth? Which is the Word of God. So the Word of God sets us apart unto the Lord. And we'll look at this being set apart. We know this, but we'll just briefly go over this so that we can just understand these things, what the Lord does. Because obviously we have to be born again. We have to be made a new creation. And in the new birth, there is the power for separation, as it will never happen. It will never be achieved. On our side of it, it is allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work within us, which we call yielding. It is that absence of resistance. It is when God is speaking to us both individually and corporately, we desire within our hearts, we allow the Holy Spirit to do that work that we can yield over. This is why when we meet together and we have the teachings that we have, and we have them twice a week, so we're mightily blessed. We find within those teachings that God is speaking to us, and he's requiring of us not only to believe upon it, but also to act upon it. And very often the acting is according to that which we hear. We yield over so that the Holy Spirit can do that work. So when we go away today from this meeting, what have we learned? What is it that the Spirit is saying today to us as a church? Well, the title very often gives it away. That's why we bring titles out. They are for a reason and a purpose, because it's what the Holy Spirit is requiring of us today to do. Or we encourage you to take it away and to pray before God with regards to the teaching that we have. What is the purpose of all of this? So the Word washes us. I cannot wash you as much as I'd like to, but I can't. Because you are growing up as mature spiritual sons and daughters of God. We wash infants, babies, because they can't do it for themselves. And that is where a mother comes in, washing her child. But she isn't always going to do that. There's going to come a day and a time when that ceases, and the child will want to do it for themselves. In fact, you're bringing that child up is teaching them to be independent so that they eventually will wash themselves. Now let's take that over to the spiritual. That is exactly what God is doing with us. We all started on the milk of the word, as Hebrew tells us, and we're moving on to the solids, the meat of the word. The same as a child doesn't want always just that milk and that soft, palatable food that it takes. There comes a time when it starts to want to explore and taste other things. And so it's the same with our spiritual growth. We are exploring, if you like. We are wanting to taste the greater things in the Word of God, in God's provision. And that's why I'm always saying that it's so important to have those healthy appetites spiritually for God, for His Word. And we encourage you to believe for that, and we believe that God will provide for that. So we see these wonderful spiritual analogies that work alongside as we're developing and growing. But all of this is achieved by taking God's word seriously. And that is one of the things that I want to hone in today. And before I open up in this, let's just turn to Psalm 119, which speaks about the word of God. We know this quite well. But Psalm 119, and I want to look at verses 9 of 119, of which it says, "How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word." So how are we cleansed? One could clearly put, how are we cleansed? How are we washed? By taking heed. In other words, taking it seriously, seeing your name and address there, not anybody else, not anybody else's fault. Well, I hope that brother or sister's listening to this today, because that surely must be speaking to them. No, we avoid that. What is it saying to me? That's the key. And then we also look in verse 11. "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So there are two principles. We know those well. We mention them often in the assembly, and for a very good reason. Because it's about our spiritual washing. It's interesting that when we're born again, we're told, aren't we, in John 3, that we're born again by the water and the Spirit. So there has to be a washing, a purifying. And that washing is what the blood does. It cleanses. It deals with sin. In fact, it deals with it to such a point that God says He casts it away as far as the east is to the west. And so that then raises questions. Well, if I've been washed and cleansed by my sin, what are you talking about all this washing and sanctifying and everything that goes on? Well, we have to understand spiritually what this is speaking, because it's from a pattern from the Old Testament, from the Mosaic Law. These are types. Let me give us an analogy on this. You can buy yourself a new car. And that new car is sparkling. It's clean. It smells clean. You know, it's got that car feel about it, you know. They're all sparkling, and there they are, ready to be sold. And so you buy that car. But you then take on the responsibility of that car. And one of the things that you soon learn about that very clean, sparkling car is it soon needs washing. It needs to be looked after. And so it's exactly the same with us. God has made you clean. You're sparkling new. You're a new creation. However, you have now got the responsibility to keep that new birth, that new creation, sparkling and clean. I know it's very basic what I'm saying, but I think you're understanding where I'm coming from. And that is our responsibility. And this is why we're told it comes by hearing the word of God, by reading, by being saturated in the word. My business is around the word of God. That is keeping me clean and washed for God's use. Are you understanding where we're coming from in this? Because it is important, this. It's interesting that a lot of the society have got it all completely round the wrong way. And of course, this is what sin does. This is what falling away from God does. And in many, many ways, this country now is pagan. But it's interesting that in this last generation, we see so often now such an obsession in cleaning. There's such an obsession in how one looks, in cosmetics, self-image, how the house looks, how everything looks. Everything has got to be clean. Manicured. We've got to look right. There's a real obsession in this now, in society, and particularly with young people, even though they don't know really what they do, like when they put all these tattoos over them, because it's actually defiling them. But there's a real emphasis on this today. And yet, when you look at society, as immaculate as some people can look, you only have to look in the eyes, sadly, to see the defilement, the uncleanness that is there. You see, unless you are first clean inside, it doesn't matter how much you throw at that. Throw at yourself, throw at your environment, you will never make it clean. You don't. It's a deception of the enemy. It's part of the problems that we see in these last days of the falling away. This is why this washing, the idea of this washing, of course, is seen in our outward confession when we are baptized. And Lord willing, next month we're going to have a water baptism. And it's an outward declaration of washing. The idea of washing, Jesus washing, making us clean. So going down into death and coming up into life, into the new creation. That is the outward confession that we do. This is why the church baptizes into the name of Jesus. That is the correct apostolic baptism. It's, in other words, a metaphorical change of life. It's an obedience of faith, and that's why we do it. You see, washing also means, another word for it is absolution. That's another name for it. You see, in the Old Testament, the priesthood had to wash before they put their vestures on, their clothing. All the things that pertained in the sanctuary, the vessels, the utensils, had to be washed before God. And it was a ceremonial washing. It wasn't just a washing, it had to be done precisely. It was that serious before coming into the presence of God. Even their clothing had to be washed. They had to wash their bodies. Anybody who even touched a dead body had to be sanctified, washed. Anyone who touched leprosy or those who had leprosy had to go out of the camp. And then after 7 days again were observed and then had to be washed, everything, before coming back into the presence of God. So there were all these ceremonial washings and so on. Now we take that over to the spiritual. There's still that washing, but it's done now by yielding, by obedience. And this washing is done in your life by the way you receive the Word of God into your hearts. This is why we're always stressing, come prepared to the meetings. Come prayed up. Pray through the week for the message that you are going to receive. Pray for this word, because this word is so often under attack by the powers of darkness. Demons do not want this word to go forth. We know that from experience. We've seen the attacks of the enemy, how he works in so many ways. So it's important you go as far as you are prepared to get behind this word and pray for this word. You go as far. So if you've got problems with this assembly, or you feel it's not going as it should be, you may have to just ask yourself, am I really getting in prayer behind this? Is it costing me? Am I interceding so that I can grow, I can become that overcomer? Amen. Don't just keep looking always to the pastor or to Brother Bob or whoever it would be. Yes, we have a responsibility, but so do you. That's called body ministry. You see? And that's why we're baptized into this, for that very purpose. Well, I'm raising a question then, which we're going to answer in 2 points. What effects do the washing of God's word have on us? Or you could put on me. What effects is the washing of God's word having on us, on me? And it's a very valid point. It's one that we, all of us, if we've never done so, have to consider and seek God about. Firstly, we note that the enemy is attacking the Word of God. He always has done. Ever since Adam and Eve fell, he attacks the Word. He attacked the Word of God. And of course that brought in sin in the world. So the attack is always on the word. Now when we say the word of God, the attack is on the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the living word. That is whom he was really attacking. And was using the weakness of man in which to come against Almighty God. To come against the sword of the Spirit. That is always his motive. That is the way he works. And that is what we're going to see in the last days as the rise of Antichrist comes. He again will try to defy and attack the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, which is Christ himself. So when the Word is attacked, he's really attacking the living Word, which his name is Jesus. That is the one whom he comes against. Now, Peter tells us a lot in the last days what we're experiencing and seeing. Tell me, if you will, quickly to 2 Peter chapter 20, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. And it's speaking about these false teachers who are deceiving, who are watering the word down. They're bringing worldliness, compromise into the churches, which is absolutely prevalent today. You don't have to run around and look for it. It's all around. And what does he say in verse 20 and 22? He says, for after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn away from the holy commandments delivered to them. And it says it's happened to them according to the true prophet. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her, wallowing in the mire. And of course, verse 22 speaks about washing, doesn't it? It speaks here, tragically, that they had received originally the truth, the word, which so often happens because a lot of this stuff comes out of the house of God. These false prophets, these deceivers, come out where they originally were receiving the truth of the word. They had experience of the washing of the word, but pride gets in, sin, or they're neglecting the word of God, and all these things, and so no longer is this washing working anymore. They're starting to become unclean, defiled. That is what happens. And we're told in verse 22, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her, allowing in the mire. In other words, washed. You can wash a dog. You can make a dog smell nice, look nice and everything. And when you leave it and you let it off the lead, you will watch a dog go and roll in its back in the dirt and the mire, just the same as a pig, the swine. And you look and you think, what was the point of all of that? Do you know why it does that? Because it's its nature. It's in its nature. That's what the fall has done. And so we get this idea again, don't we? The power of the washing, the need of the washing of God's word within us. They were washed, but they've gone back to the mire. And that's what they do. And we all of us have to be on our guard for this. This is why we're overcoming. This is why God is doing that work in our lives as he is. And this is why it's so important that we take heed as to how we hear the word of God. Am I hearing as I should be? Or am I becoming dull of hearing to what I once used to be? These are all questions that we have to ask ourselves and be honest. And the second area, looking at this, going back to our portion of scripture that we're studying today in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, just to remind ourselves again what it is we're talking about today, and that is that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. And so this word continues to wash us. Now this idea in the Greek means it's actually to bathe, to lather. That is what it means. It means a real good bath, a wash. And of course, if you really, really, really want a real good wash, there's nothing like a good bath, a good soak. There's nothing like it. It really is. And a good old lathering and everything. That is the idea of what the Word of God does. Interestingly, what Hebrews 10 has to say in this. Of course, we know all these scriptures, but it's important in the context of what we're talking about to understand these. And Hebrews 10 and verse 22, and this is where it speaks about holding fast our confession, faithful to the end. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So it speaks here of not only the heart being washed, the heart the Word of God getting to the heart, but also our bodies as well. So it means that as the Word of God is dealing with the heart, so your body then, the outward man himself, conforms to the working within the heart. You cannot do it the other way round. That's what religious man is doing, trying to cleanse himself, trying to bring his body into conformity, but he can't because it's still in the heart. This is why you can cloister yourself. You can become a monk, you can become a nun. You can try outwardly to separate yourself, but you can still be lusting in the heart for the things of the world that they've separated from. That's the hypocrisy of it. And of course, this is what God, Jesus was exposing in the Pharisees, the religious people. And this is what he exposes in us, because he won't have it. Amen. And the only thing that can deal with that is the washing of the Word. Because the washing of the Word, the power of the sower, is getting to the heart. Because sin, unbelief, resides in the heart. Yes. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever is in your heart, your body, your flesh, will act it or speak it eventually. This is why we've been challenging again about our confession. You have got to listen to your confession. You've got to listen what comes out of your mouth. Are you confessing that cancer over you? Are you confessing that sin in your life? Are you confessing that illness? Are you confessing that fear? Or over the family, the job? You name it, whatever it is. You don't have to look for it. Listen to what comes out of our mouth. Because that's telling you it's still in your heart. And the only way that can be dealt with is by the washing of the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. That we're speaking about.
Thank you, Lord.
That is the only thing that can deal with it. Nothing else can. You can pray till the cows come home. You can fast until you drop dead. And that can have its place. But it takes the washing of the Word of God to change our lives, to conform it to the perfection that God is looking for. We are sanctified. We are separated. We've got today this progressive sanctification. We are. It means we're separated to God. Sanctified. The new birth does that. To maintain that sanctification, to maintain that separation, you need the washing of the Word of God that is working more and more, cutting us away unto the Lord. We already have it by faith. It is already there, but it may not always be our experience. That's the problem, you see. And so man always tries to compromise on the Word. Oh, well, we're gradually being sanctified, separated, and so on. We're not. We are sanctified. Perfect we are to be. And the only way that this is achieved is by the washing of this Word. You see, this type of washing that is spoken of here, that we've read in Hebrews 10:22, this type of washing is to separate us from these weaknesses and temptations that we fall to in the world. It's to actually work in us obedience, faith. It's actually working in us to be not only hearers, but doers of the Word of God. And we're only going to be doers of the Word of God as we allow this Word to wash us in the inner man, in the heart. Because that's the only way it can come. It will come no other way. You will be completely be defeated. You will feel down, dejected. And this is what I want to address, because I believe that this is a major problem that has been attacking this church. We have allowed ourselves to become a little dull of hearing. We've allowed ourselves to take our eyes off the Word of God and looking to circumstances, listening too much to the negative and the bad news that is around, or spending too much time watching television instead, or other things to distract us from the most important, and that is the Word of God that is washing and cleansing me. We have fallen from the standard that God is requiring from FGA. How do I know? Because I see it come out in our meetings. I see it coming out in our countenance, in the way we're acting and so forth. We're allowing ourselves to fall to sleep like the unwise virgins. I know we're in a slumbering period. That is God. I can't change that. He has made no mistake. But there is a purpose and a reason. But even in that slumbering state, we see a division between the five wise and the five foolish.
Yes.
Because even in that state, the five wise still are attentive to the Word of God and its washing over their lives.
Yes.
And I believe that that is the Word of God. I will put my ministry on that at this time over this church at the moment.
Yes.
And we need to take heed. And this has been confirmed and reconfirmed to me. So I'm not bringing this out just off willy-nilly. I've waited on God to address in this area. Because we need to be on our guard. Because we're going to find ourselves coming back to these meetings and get excited again about these meetings. We're going to find we lift these holy hands in God's presence and lifting our voices. We'll find again the gifts starting to flow, because there are gifts within this church. But we have listened too much to the enemy. We have become too much gazing, looking at our navels, instead of outward looking, seeking the kingdom, which he so often keeps telling us to do. We need to come back to that perfecting work that the Word of God does in our lives through that washing. This is the perfecting side that God works. It's being changed, moving from one state to the next, maturing. That is the idea of washing. As I've done my research in this, about the washing of the Word under the new covenant, the idea of it is that you are moved from one state to the next. It is keeping you moving forward in the right direction. It is an empowerment to enable you through weakness to keep your eyes solely upon Jesus. That's why we're emphasizing about this washing today. There's far more about this than ever we realize. This washing effect is absolutely essential. Well, as we bring this to a conclusion, what did Jesus have to say about this? Turn with me to John 15. The Gospel of John. And verse 3. John 15 and verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now he's speaking about being the vine, the true vine. And he also, of course, says, but not all of you. There's some that are not. Of course, sadly, Judas was amongst that. But he said quite clearly, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. And of course, he was the living word. You're clean by me because you hear what I say. What I say cleans you. It keeps you in a healthy state. It keeps you right. And this is most important for us to understand this. As we bring our lives in contact with God's word, it deals with all those imperfections of our hearts. As we have come in contact today with God, this meeting, His Word under the anointing, it's dealing with imperfections in us. Don't try and understand it. Don't try and go by feelings. Don't try and go, well, Pastor, you don't know what my life's like, and you don't know what my week's like, and whatever it is. Doesn't matter. If you have opened your heart today to the Word of God, it will deal with those imperfections by the washing you have received this day, now, where you are.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Faith comes by hearing. Don't try and work it out. That is all up to God. He's made no mistake, but that is what He's doing, and that is what He will do. It purifies, separating you unto God. This is a meeting of separation today. This is why the house of God is for believers. It's our schooling. You go out and make believers. It's not the church's responsibility. No, it's not to say we couldn't help out, but the point is, you go out and make those disciples and bring them in where they're going to get washed, where they can maintain and keep in good health spiritually. Because that's what it does. We know exactly what we're talking about. We have a responsibility to look after ourselves. Balance, just of course. Of course we have to wash. Of course we have to eat. But it is a balance. See, God doesn't get excessive over what He does with us. You see, in this washing, it is a balanced. But this washing, if you let it and you come away from God's word, this washing can become a doctrinal thing where it's just washing in certain areas. Yes, even if you make too much of faith. All you do is now washing faith. But what about the whole gospel? What about love that works with faith? And all the rest of it. This is why we have this revelation of 66 books. All, every jot and tittle of this book, which is God's word, washes us for His glory. Therefore, you cannot take certain things out of context. Because this is what doctrines of demons do. And Satan knows what he's doing here. Because he's going to try and stop you from being washed by the word of God. He wants to defile you. He wants to take you back into the mire. Where you were once washed. But it was a polluted wash. Just what we read about, you know, the dog returning to its vomit. And so on. It's what he wants to try and do. This is the attack. He's been trying, doing it in this church. But thank God, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. There's something there that cannot rest until we hear the word of God. Because it's that washes us. It's what we follow, you see. Finally, John 13, verse 10. Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he is completely clean. But you are clean, but not all of you." Now, of course, he's speaking about here, this cleaning, washing the disciples' feet, and Peter says, "Oh, don't only wash my feet, wash all of me, my head and everything." You are. Amen. You are. He's trying to show him something more what he's doing. You see, this isn't just a ceremonial thing, Peter. I'm actually washing your feet. They're probably clean. But I'm washing these because I'm showing you something deeper. I'm serving at this point. I'm humbling myself before you, Almighty God. He got it later, you see. But notice it's in the context of washing. See? we need to be washed by the Word of God to serve. We need to be washed by the Word of God to obey. We need to be washed by the Word of God to believe and hold on to all the promises of God's Word. We need to be washed in the Word of God to start resisting the arm of the flesh and relying upon it. We need to be washed in the Word of God to be able to say no to temptation. We need to be washed in the Word of God, period. Because that is what it's doing. This washing today is preserving you and I, for we don't know later on today or tomorrow what we face. But thank God for the washing today that has enabled me not to compromise, to move forward, to move on. That's the healthy attitude we must have towards this word. Don't base the Word of God on your own hang-ups, your problems, or what you're still battling with. Don't do that, because that's what's been going on. Well, I don't seem to be able to get healed. And I've seen people, they're not healed or whatever it is. Or I don't seem to be able to get these finances. And I know others, they're confessing for their finances and in debt, and so it goes on. You open your heart up to resentment, to unbelief. You are basing the standard of God's word on your unbelief. That is terrible. That is awful. But we do it. We do it. And no longer can that word wash you like it should. Get free from it. Doesn't matter. God's word is true. Whatever we see, whatever has gone on, whatever you have heard, whatever goes on in your life, no matter how negative it is, because it always is, they're the giants, they're the mountains. God is faithful, he is true to his word. Never let me lose sight of that standard. Let that be your prayer, let that be your confession, whatever it is, settle it. I settle to the standard of God's word, for he cannot lie. And I don't understand any of the rest, because it will always look negative. There will always be a mountain. There will always be a giant. It's guaranteed. And God is allowing them for reason, because there is a land to possess. It is a good land flowing with milk and honey. And we have to maintain that confession. Because if we don't, like the children of Israel, oh, they listen to the rest of the elders. Oh, look at the size of them. Look at the giants and everything. And it didn't take long for that to spread like wildfire. And it did. But two of them chose not to believe that lie, Joshua, Caleb, for they were the right spirit. The bride of Christ that makes herself ready is of the right spirit. Amen. Let the word of God wash you. Heavenly Father, again today we have seen our need. We've seen where we are. You have exposed. You love us. Lord, forgive us that we have compromised. We have listened. We've allowed logic. We've brought the word of God down to our own thinking and level and standard. Lord, forgive us, Father. Forgive me. Help us to settle it, because we are desperate for the washing of your word. We've allowed ourselves to become defiled and unclean. And that's not what we were saved for. Lord, whatever it takes, continue in your mercy, love and grace to do it. Father, bring that joy. Bring whatever back that we had so that it can be offered back to you in worship, praise and glory. Father, we don't understand. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why maybe this didn't happen or that did or whatever it would be. But that doesn't alter your word. Doesn't alter what you have said. Help us, Lord, not to look to these things. But whenever we're under attack, whenever anything happens or whatever it is, help us, Lord, just to observe, to go back to your word, the sword of that spirit. Help us to raise that standard through your mighty name against unbelief, against confusion, against apathy, procrastination, depression, whatever it would be. And may our hearts and lives continue to be open to allow you to wash us with your word, which you so faithfully have done today, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here, Lord. Thank you for making this meeting possible. Thank you, you don't give up on us, Father. Oh, Lord, what a loving Father we have. So gracious, so merciful, so long-suffering, Lord, because you first loved us. So be with us, ever bless, preserve and keep us, Lord. Continue to bless our time and fellowship, Father, as we share around a meal. Let our conversation be about you, Lord, not all this worldly stuff and what's going on out there, Lord. We're being separated from it. It's pollution. Work that purity within us, Lord. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bless you, Father.